الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today inshallah we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will learn today about the great pledge in Islam, which is Al-Aqaba pledge, which is called the Treaty of Al-Aqaba. Actually, in Yathrib, which is a city northern of Mecca, there were two Arab tribes, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. These two tribes, they were both very powerful, and they were always at war with each other. They were always fighting each other, and they both worshipped idols. Okay, so these are the three main important facts related to these two Arab tribes, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. Very powerful, always at war with each other, and they worshipped idols. Also in the same city, Yathrib, there were many Jews, who, unlike the Arabs at that time, they knew that there was only one God and they worshipped him. And also the Jewish told the Arabs many times that a prophet would be coming to them. On that 11th year of the prophethood, and when time came for the pilgrimage to come to Kaaba, several people from Yathrib were going. Among them, six men from the tribe of Al-Khazraj, who had heard about the Prophet Muhammad preaching, and so they thought that he must be the prophet whom the Jewish had told them about. Okay? So these six men actually are very important in the Islamic history. Okay? So those six men, they decided to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a spot known as Aqaba or Al-Aqaba near Mecca. These six men, they heard about the Prophet. They heard that there is a man in Mecca who is calling for a new message, and they already knew from the Jewish that a Prophet is about to come. So they were under the impression that maybe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet whom the Jewish are speaking about. So they decided to meet him in a place called Al-Aqaba, which is near Mecca. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy for their interest to learn about Islam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them what Islam meant regarding the belief in only one God. And also he proved his sayings with the verses of the Holy Quran. When these six men heard the verses of the Quran, their hearts were touched and they became Muslims. And on leaving Mecca, they promised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to return the following year. When they reached Yathrib, their city, they were carrying Islam in their hearts. They told their relatives and their friends what they heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many more from the people of Yathrib became Muslims. A year passed and the pilgrimage season came around again. 12 important men from Yathrib went to Mecca to meet the Prophet. Out of them were the six whom they came the first time. These six important men, they vowed their faith in Islam and in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet, and they promised that they will not worship anyone but Allah, they will not steal, neither they will commit adultery nor kill their children. Also they promised that they will not disobey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any matter. When they had taken the pledge, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that whoever will carry out that pledge, Allah will reward him. We will recite now from Surah number 60, verse number 12, because this is the form of the pledge which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with the people of Al-Madinah, with the 12 men when they came for the first Aqaba pledge. This is the first Aqaba pledge. We will read about the conditions for that pledge, because they are the same conditions which are mentioned in Surah number 60, verse number 12. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah 60, verse number 12, page 810 from our Quran translation. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إذا جاءك المؤمنات يبايعنك على ألا يشركن بالله شيئا ولا يسرقن ولا يزنين ولا يقتلن أولادهن ولا يأتين ببهتان يفترينه بين أيديهن وأرجلهن ولا يعصينك في معروف فبايعهن واستغفر لهن الله إن الله غفور رحيم. In this verse of the Quran, we will learn about the conditions which Prophet Muhammad and the Muslims agreed for in the first Aqaba pledge. It is mentioned here that it is related to a pledge with the women, but it is also the same condition for the first Aqaba pledge.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O Prophet, when the believing women came to you pledging to you that they will not associate anything with Allah, nor will they steal, nor will they commit unlawful sexual intercourse, nor will they kill their children, nor will they bring forth the slander they have invented between their arms and legs, nor will they disobey you in what is right, then accept their pledge and ask forgiveness for them of Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful.
So actually, sister, these are the conditions which were written or which were agreed for between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the 12 men from Yathrib, and this is known as the first Aqaba pledge. After the pledge, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent to Yathrib one of his companions. His name is Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair is considered the first Muslim ambassador to teach the people of Yathrib al-Quran and to instruct them in their religion. Now we will learn about the second Aqaba pledge. The next year, 13th of the prophethood, during the pilgrimage season, over 70 converts from Yathrib came to Mecca. 73 men and 2 women. 73 men and 2 women, they came as Muslims to meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had a secret meeting with the Prophet, and that meeting was arranged to be held at night so that they escape the eyes of the disbelievers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he arrived with his uncle Al-Abbas. Though himself not a Muslim, his uncle was still not a Muslim, but he came with him to meet the people so that he can show the people that Prophet Muhammad is not alone. There is another man who is a powerful man, his uncle, he is taking care of him. So this is a form of supporting his nephew in spite of the fact Al-Abbas was not a Muslim. Actually, his uncle Al-Abbas was the first to speak, and he said, "You all know the position that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds among us. We have protected him from our people as much as we could. He is honored and respected among his people. He refused to join any party except you. So if you think you can carry out what you promise while inviting him to your town, and if you can defend him against the enemies, then assume the burden that you have taken. But if you are going to surrender him and to betray him after having taken him away with you, you had better leave him now, because he is respected and well defended in his own place." Actually, Prophet, actually, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is Abbas. He is trying to show the people of Yathrib that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not escaping Mecca because he is alone, or because, you know, the disbelievers are they can catch him, or he is in a weak position. No, he is trying to show them that he is in a strong position, he is protected by his family, he is honored in his place, but he wanted to join your party. So actually, after they replied, the Muslims coming from Yathrib, they replied, "We have heard your words, and now, O Messenger of Allah, take from us any pledge that you want regarding yourself." So they said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they heard the words of his uncle, and whatever pledge he is looking for, they agreed for. The Messenger of Allah then preached the faith, and the pledge was taken on the following principles: not to associate anyone or anything with Allah, to enjoy good and to forbid evil, not to commit any sin, and to defend the Prophet when he needs their help. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked the group, these 73 men and 2 women, to appoint 12 representatives. Why? Number 1, to preach Islam to their people in Yathrib. Number 2, to shoulder the responsibilities of implementing the articles of the pledge. And number 2, to guide the men of their own tribes in matters relating to propagation of Islam. This is the story of the second Aqaba pledge, later known as the Great Aqaba pledge. Aqaba is the place where the pledge took place. Actually, the Great Aqaba pledge was effected in an atmosphere of love and mutual support between the Muslims of Yathrib and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This new spirit of affection and cooperation was based on the belief in Allah's oneness. It was a belief so rooted in themselves that it managed to stand immune to all powers of injustice and oppression. Somehow or other, the news of this pledge leaked out. As soon as the disbelievers of Quraysh knew about the pledge, they decided to catch hold of those Muslims from Yathrib. But they didn't succeed in catching hold of anyone except one. So these new Muslims, they returned to Yathrib to spread the message of Islam and to prepare the city for the very important event which is coming to happen soon. Now we will have a pause, and we'll have some time to learn the lessons from that pledge. These two pledges, the first and the second Aqaba pledge. Actually, sisters, when these great events happen, we must have our time to realize the wisdom of Allah and the lessons which we must learn from these two important events. Now we will recite from Surah number 6, verse number 125, in order to learn more and more about the lessons from the two Aqaba pledges, the most important pledges in the history of Islam. We will recite from Surah number 6, verse number 125. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يريد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام ومن يريد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So whoever Allah wants to guide, He expands His breast to contain Islam. He expands His heart to contain Islam. And whoever He wants to send astray, He makes His heart tight and constricted as though He were climbing into the sky. Thus, Does Allah place defilement upon those who do not believe?
So actually, sisters, in order to know the meaning of this verse of the Quran and how it is applied for those Muslims whom they came from Medina, first we must know that Allah has set in operation a law that ensures guidance for everyone who wishes to be guided and takes the necessary action to achieve that guidance. So when you have the intention, or when you wishes to be guided, when you wish to be guided, and when you take the necessary action to achieve that guidance, Allah the Almighty will make your heart to move towards surrendering yourself to Allah. You will find that your heart open up warmly to such surrender. This is the most important factor for guidance. The most important factor for guidance is that Allah knows from your heart that you wishes to be guided. You want to be guided. You are ready to take the steps for guidance. When Allah knows this from your heart, okay, Allah will open your heart, okay, for the guidance. Okay? So we must also believe that to be inclined to something, this is done only by Allah's will. Okay? This is very important. Okay? Allah's will be behind your wish to be guided. Allah's will be behind you to take the steps to be guided. Okay? This is not the will of force. It is the will of knowledge and wisdom. Okay? So again, sisters, to be guided is a gift from Allah. Okay? We must believe in this. You are not the one, okay, only who make you to be guided. No. You wish to be guided and you want to take steps to be guided, but it is the will of Allah to move your heart to that direction and to open your heart for the guidance. And this will of Allah is not the will of force, it is the will of wisdom. Allah knows out of His wisdom and knowledge who deserves guidance. Okay? But, actually, this is exactly what had happened with the hearts of the Muslims in Yathrib, who accepted Islam very easy and were happy to become Muslims and ready to sacrifice for its sake. Okay? And the opposite was the case of the disbelievers of Mecca. Okay? These are two kinds of hearts. A heart which is created or was created for guidance, and a heart which was created not to be guided. Okay? Those from Yathrib, whom they were not living with the Prophet, they are not his relatives, they don't know him, okay, but their hearts were guided. So they came from far away to accept Islam very easily. And this is the opposite of the case of the relatives, his very close relatives, his uncle, his cousin, his nephews. Okay, they are living with him, he belongs to them. Okay, he tried with them many times, but in spite of all of this, so long the will of Allah was not with their guidance, they were never guided. Okay, so actually, again, we will discuss the case of those six Muslims, okay, in details. Why? Because those six Muslims will be rewarded for all the Muslims until the Day of Judgment. Those six Muslims, they helped to save Islam, okay, and they don't know this. They died believing that we accepted Islam one by one. They don't know that because of them, Allah made it very easy for Prophet Muhammad to migrate to Medina, and then it will become the city of the Prophet. Islam will spread all over, and it will be there until the Day of Judgment, and they will be rewarded for all of this. So again, it was in the 10th year of the prophethood when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he met those six men from Yathrib, and they accepted Islam and they returned and they called their people to Islam. Those six people were behind the first and the second Aqaba pledge, okay, which were the golden opportunities for Islam to spread and for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey the message of Islam. Actually, if we remember, sister, that after returning from At-Ta'if, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing very difficult situation with his own people, whom they refused to accept Islam, and also they were more harsh and they were more tough with him and with the early Muslims. And actually, it looked that the way for Islam was blocked in Mecca. Okay, but Allah the Almighty, He sent those six men from Yathrib to open the way for Islam out of Mecca. Those six men of Yathrib were guided by Allah, who knew the sincerity of their hearts. And through them it was that a big number of the people came and Islam spread all over. And actually they saved the Muslims of Mecca, whom they migrated to Medina, and they saved Islam because Allah opened a way for Islam through them, and they will be rewarded for all those whom they become Muslims. Now we will learn the second lesson from those two pledges of Al-Aqaba from Surah number 9, verse number 33. If you are a Muslim, let us discuss until we get the verse. If you are a Muslim and you are trying your best to follow the way of Islam, but when you look around, you feel that you are lonely, there is no much people whom they are supporting you, you don't have a lot of sisters, not everyone is appreciating what you are doing. Okay, so sometimes you feel that I am alone on the way, and the way looks very difficult. And what is the end of all this suffering? Why most of the people are not following the right path, and very little people, they are following the right path. Okay, this is a question which will always come to you when you decide to follow the right path. You will be always either alone or with a very little group of sincere Muslims. Okay, this is the sincerity of the hearts. It is not by number.
It's difficult.
It is difficult. Yes, I agree. Why you are telling me it is difficult? You can explain to us. This is very important.
I think sometimes it's hard to understand how other people are always living life, and how you try to be living life on your side, and you cannot understand that there's a gap between the two.
Yes. You feel that there is a gap. This is the word. There is a gap between you and the rest of the Muslims, not the non-Muslims.
This is like the only place I can come that I feel very comfortable, you know, like where we can communicate, because in the masjid that I go to, it's mainly Arabs, and we have a communication problem, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel comfortable coming here and talking to you. And I love going to the masjid there, but I still feel like, you know, like it's hard to fit in.
Yes, I got your feeling 100%. Actually, you know, this is a very big problem for us, the Arabs, you know. I always explain this to them, and I repeat this many times. I always mention that the number of the non-Arabic speaking is about to be 90% of the Muslims.
I think we need more classes like this.
Yes.
But there's a lot of people out there who feel like they're on their own, you know, especially when they become Muslim, you know, and the people are there to support them to become Muslim, but after they become Muslim, they don't have the support, you know.
100%. You know, Daniel, because if you help someone to become a Muslim, okay, you will be highly rewarded. So everyone, a Muslim, is after the non-Muslim for someone to become a Muslim, to say a shahada. Yeah. The minute you said a shahada, they believe that they are already rewarded. So, assalamu alaikum. Enough is enough. I will look for another one to say a shahada. I will not teach that one anything. It will be a very difficult and wrong trip you get. But this is not the reward from Allah. The reward from Allah is not to say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. No, this is not. It is the belief in the heart. It is the teaching of Islam. It is the belief in Allah and belief, all forms of belief. You know, it is a very long way, you know, to become a true believer in the oneness of Allah. But whatever Daniel is saying is true, because I lived this, what she is saying, over the last 10 years in the masjids. You know, everyone is after the convert to convert. 1 minute after being a convert, I don't know you. Go to another one to teach. You are a burden. I don't have time. Yes, I agree with Daniel 100%, and this is not You know, as if they don't know Allah. You know, Allah the Almighty, you know, He knows the hearts, He knows the sincerity. If I want someone to become a Muslim, I want her heart to believe in Islam. This is not, a testimony to say it in 3 minutes. And then that's it. No, this is the heart. You want a heart to believe in. You know, so it needs a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, you know, a lot of teaching. Okay, and if you believe that every minute you spend it for the sake of Allah, you are rewarded, okay, you will be very happy and you will be very keen, you know, to teach Islam, not just to make the people to convert to Islam and then to forget about them. And actually this is a very big problem because there are a lot of converts. But how many of them, they are practicing Islam? Very little. Very little. I saw over the 8 years or 9 years in Houston, a lot of converts. Most of them are not practicing. Many, many in the class. They just come for 3 or 4 classes and they leave. Yes, many. Ask Daniel. In many masjids, in many places.
So they come and go. Yeah.
They come and go.
So what can people do to help?
How people help?
If people have time, what can they do to help?
If people have time, you must teach them. And when you teach them, you must teach them the belief. The most important in Islam is the belief. The belief in the oneness of Allah. Who is Allah? To believe in Allah, you must believe in Allah. You must believe in His names. You must believe in His Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim attributes. You must believe in His oneness, in His worship, and oneness in His, in many forms, in the oneness of Allah. Then you believe in the prophets. Then you believe in the angels, in the day of judgment. You believe in Allah's decree. This is very difficult. Okay, so you must teach them all of this so that they become believers in the oneness of Allah. Then you believe them about prayer. Okay, then you believe them about the most important rules of the Holy Quran, how to live your life as a Muslim, rules of life in Islam. But the most important is the heart, to help them to have the belief inside their hearts, so that they will be convinced that this is the message they were looking for. Otherwise, they will be lost. Okay, they are not Christians. And they are not Muslims.
They go back to where they convert back to Christianity, or they become non-believers.
Yes, I saw many sisters whom they leave Islam. They left Islam. And I saw many of them whom they said to me, we hate Islam. Mm-mm. And yes, and when you asked them why, they told me because of the Arabic sisters. Mm-hmm. They are not treating us in a good way. They are not getting us with them as a community. They always give us the feeling that we are different and we are below them, or we are not the same standard, okay, and we are converting for a purpose, okay, and this always hurts our feeling, and no one is helping us, no one is welcoming us, we don't know anything about this religion. Plus, if they are married to Muslim husbands, this is a very big problem. This is a very big problem. Many Muslims in America, they married the American women for the sake of the passport. Okay, so that women will become Muslims, believing that she is in love with her husband. Unfortunately, he is in love with her passport. Okay. So when he becomes American and he will have the American passport, he will tell her, Salaamu Alaikum. Okay. And he will return back. Yes, and he will marry another Arabic woman. Okay, so she will hate him, and she will hate Islam, and she will hate herself, and she will hate life, and she will become someone against Islam. Not even not to know anything about Islam, but against Islam.
And that person will be a disbeliever, and it will be considered in the eyes of Allah as a disbeliever.
No. What will happen to him on the day of judgment, only Allah knows. Allah will punish him that he cheated on that sister. Okay, Allah will punish him.
He
cheated her and he caused her, not to believe in Islam, and she will lose her belief in any good person. Maybe she will become a bad person. Whatever, he hurted her feelings and he destroyed, her spirit. Allah will make him to pay for that. Okay, but this is on the day of judgment. Okay. What about today? What about now? There are many convert sisters whom they had that problem, and I knew two or three of them, and you can't imagine how they turned against Islam. And I can't blame them.
How can we reach them? How can we find
them? No, I can give you that phone number. No, they will refuse totally to talk
but
to you.
This is English class. Yes. So people can come to this class.
They can come, but I tell you, Safiya, they don't like.
No, with the ones that just take the Shahada, not...
Yes, they can come. I am always mentioning, and I mentioned before that even I can make a class over the weekend.
This is English.
They must come. You know, and in my class, I am teaching the basic needs for the heart to become a Muslim, the basics of the belief, the most important, okay? Allah is everything. Allah is giving you everything. Allah will take care of you. Allah will reward you. Allah is the provider. Allah is the most merciful. To connect with Allah, you know, I am not teaching, you know, the rules of Islam. No, I am teaching, you know, about the hearts, okay? But unfortunately, as I am clarifying to you that, you know, you don't know what is going on, but at the end of the day, mostly you will find yourself either alone on the right path or two or three sisters. Maximum five. Okay? I always mention to the Arab sisters, if there are five sincere sisters from the depths of the heart whom they want to serve Islam, Islam will be in a good shape. But where are the five sisters whom they have knowledge? I am not supposed to have knowledge and then to tell you, my dearest sisters, this class, you must pay $20 for the class, for example. Okay? If I believe that, I will be rewarded from Allah. So why I am taking money from you? My reward is from Allah. And if I believe, I am a believer that the reward of Allah is more and more and more great than any money which I will get. Allah will give me good health, which I can't buy it with any money. Allah will give me good time. Allah will take care of my kids. Allah will take care of my home. You know, all of this is priceless. But where are those Muslims, you know? So what I am clarifying to you is that the early Muslims were different. They were a group of people. They made a community, and that community, which we will learn about, inshallah, next week, is the best community ever in the history. Why? Not because they were rich, okay? They were not rich, but because of their hearts. They like each other, they supported each other, they invited each other. You know, the one who doesn't have a house, they will give him a house. The one who doesn't have a wife, they will give him a wife. If I have two wives, I will give one of my wives, even to that Muslim, okay? This is how Islam spread at that time, because of the good hearts. So nowadays, when you look around, mostly Muslims are Muslims by name. Why? Because they are not the top people. If we are Muslims by hearts, we will be the best people, because we will help each other, we will take care of each other, and we will have good manners with non-Muslims. So more and more will be invited to Islam. But nowadays, how can I invite any person to Islam? Okay? When you say to anyone, please, let me teach you about Islam, they will tell you.
I think they were given the adhan. I don't hear it.
You know, if you invite anyone to Islam, they will tell you, no, I have a bad experience with a Muslim. Okay? Yes, many people, they tell you this, I have a bad experience with a Muslim, or I lived in the Muslim countries. They treated me in a very bad way, or they are not following the rules of Islam. You know, this is the problem. So why you are inviting me to Islam? Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. I am a good person. Okay. So because of all of this, you know, sisters, when we are learning now about the early Muslims, okay, you must say to yourself, I will follow those Muslims. I will have the manners of those Muslims. Okay, even if I am alone, okay, I am guided as they were guided. Because Allah made my heart to love Islam and to follow the rules of Islam easily, as it happened with the people of Yathrib. Now we will learn about the second lesson related to the pledge. Now we will learn about the second lesson related to Al-Aqaba pledge. We will recite now from Surah number 9, verse number 33. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 33. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religion, although they who associate with others with Allah dislike it.
So actually, sister, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it was through the hatred, torture, and boycott that the idol worshippers in Mecca tried to stop Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims from following the message of Islam. But all their ways failed. As Allah has sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the message of guidance to prevail over all the religions. It is Allah's will for Islam to prevail over all the religions in spite of all the problems that faced Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims. Actually, it was through the sincere belief of the Muslims of Yathrib that the poor and weak Muslims of Mecca found the support for their religion and escaped the difficult life in Mecca. So the message of Islam prevailed over the other religions in spite of the fact that the disbelievers tried the best to stop the spread of Islam. So again, sister, related to this verse of the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 33, Allah is mentioning that it is He who has sinned. The messenger with the guidance. Okay, so the whole issue is related to Allah. It is related to the will of Allah. And so long the will of Allah is in action, none can stop the will of Allah in spite of the fact of all the trials which the disbeliever tried to stop Islam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third lesson which we learned from the pledge of Al-Aqaba is that the pledge of Aqaba opened a new chapter for the lives of the two tribes of Yathrib, Al-Awth and Al-Khazraj. Previously, they lived in mutual hostility to each other. That is to say, battles and bloodsheds colored their history for ages. After the pledge of Al-Aqaba was taken with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two tribes were united on the basis of belief and faith in Allah. And they planned to live in peace and love for each other. In fact, they went on to become a strong community who was known for their compassion, caring and loving nature for each other. This is the new chapter in their lives, in the lives of these two tribes. They were called Al-Ansar. Those are Al-Ansar. What is the meaning of Al-Ansar in Arabic? The supporters of Islam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Al-Ansar are the people of Yathrib. Okay? Al-Ansar are the people of Yathrib whom they supported Islam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah mentioned them in the Holy Quran in Surah number 70, verse number 9. Surah number 59. We will recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will recite verse number 8 and 9. Okay, we will learn about those al-Ansar, okay, the people of Yathrib from verse number 8 and 9, Surah number 59. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون.
بسم For the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their properties, seeking bounty from Allah and His approval, and supporting Allah and His Messenger, there is also a share of those who are truthful. And for those who were settled in the home, Al-Medina, and adopted the faith before them, they love those who immigrated to them and find not any want in their hearts of what the immigrants were given, but give them preference over themselves, even though they are in privation. And whoever is protected from the stinginess of his soul, it is those who will be the successful.
So actually, sisters, inshallah, next week we will learn in more detail about those Al-Ansar, whom they actually welcomed the immigrants from Mecca, and they gave them all what they can to support them, even they preferred them over themselves, a proof of their sincere hearts and why Allah chose them to support Islam. Now we will recite from Surah number 12. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12, verse number 87, so that inshallah we will learn a very important lesson related to Al-Aqaba pledge. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. Indeed, no one despairs of relief from Allah except the disbelieving people. Okay? How we can get benefit from this verse of the Quran and applying it to Al-Aqaba pledge? Actually, sisters, at the beginning, let us review the forms of hardship which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslim had faced before the second Aqaba pledge. I want you, Daniel and Safiya, to tell me, what are the forms of punishment or hardship and trials which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslim faced before Al-Aqaba pledge? What?
Some of the things
they faced.
Food prices that increased because they were offering more money to the caravan.
Okay.
That came into Mecca.
Okay.
And they were torturing the first Muslims.
Okay.
And they had made it difficult for trade for Muslims.
Okay.
In Mecca.
Okay.
And
okay. So let me revise with you. Number one, those disbelievers, they were insulting the Prophet by saying he is a liar or a magician or a mad person. And also they were insulting the poor Muslims who were mostly slaves. Number two, they were exposing those poor Muslims to torture by tying them and leaving them in the desert in the very hot weather. Also, they were threatening them that they will kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they will fight them. Number four, regarding the social boycott, for 3 years the Muslims were isolated and prevented from communication with the Quraysh people. So they ate the leaves of the trees and the skin of the animals. Number five, the Muslims left Mecca and they emigrated to Abyssinia to escape the punishment of their people. Number seven, the year of sorrow, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lost the two most important supporting persons, his wife and his uncle. And number seven, it was the disaster of Al-Ta'if, when the Prophet Muhammad was thrown by the stones, and those people in Al-Ta'if, they refused to listen to him and they kicked him out of their city. But in spite of all these great sufferings and hardships, for more than 10 years, it was that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never lost his hope in Allah's victory regarding the spread of the message of Islam. He and the early Muslims, they were confident all the time that this religion is the truth, That is to say, there is no God but Allah. It was the sincere belief in the Lord that kept the hope up in the heart of the Prophet and the early Muslims. So actually, sister, this is a very important lesson for every one of us who is facing hardship in his life. Always remember the hardships of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslims, which were so great that we can't tolerate it actually. None of us can tolerate any of these hardships. But they tolerated all this hardship, and they were patient, and they were accepting everything, and they kept their hope up until Allah the Almighty opened for them the gate of the hope through the Muslims in Al-Madinah and or in Yathrib, and Allah planned for them that there must be an end for the suffering, and after every hardship there is ease, and the ease will come soon so long you are patient with the obedient of Allah's rules. Okay, so always send your message to your spirit, that message. Every one of us is always in need of the messages of hope, because to follow the rules of Allah, to live Islam as a way of life, is not an easy way of life. Okay, but when you always remember our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you remember the early Muslims whom they faced all forms of punishment for the sake of the religion, so always remind yourself and tell to yourself, I want to be like them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my prophet. He is my role model. If I want him to be with him in the paradise, I must follow him in his way of life. So he faced a lot of punishment and hardships and trials for the sake of Allah. So my spirit, okay, let us follow the rules of Allah. Let us be all the time on the right path, and let us remember Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his patience, and also the patience of the early Muslims, and always remember that when Allah's will be for an ease to come, okay, the ease will come from where, from any way or from no way, but it will come because it will be the will of Allah to open a way and to make for us an easy time after the time of the hardship, as it will happen now, or it started to happen when the people of Medina or Yathrib, they came to the Prophet and they were Muslims very easy, and their number was increasing a year after a year, and they had a pledge with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow all his rules and to take care of him and to defend him. So they were actually a great blessing from Allah to the Prophet and to the only Muslim. So long you are on the right path, following the way of Allah, always remind yourself that inshallah a gate of ease will be opened for you in your life. Allah's will be with you to make things easy for you. Just be patient, just follow the rules of Allah, just remember your Prophet all the time, and inshallah everything will be good for you. And we will continue about the life of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم next week إن شاء الله. الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Our Lord inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the heart, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.